It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer. Joining me, Mike Coffey from IndyNation.com, as Ed is going to have to start this year off on the sidelines.
Damn COVID.
Which will be our 16th year, and without a doubt, probably the weirdest year that we're going to do on record. Normally, Coffey, we always start the season off with what's your prediction in terms of wins and losses, but maybe we ought to start with what's your prediction in terms of how many games are we actually going to play this year?
I think they're going to get them all in.
I think if
you look at the numbers that that ND's reporting these days, the positivity rate is way down. I think the student body in general needs to be commended for getting its act together and really paying attention and trying to keep everybody healthy. I mean, in general, I'm not just talking about the football team.
After a little bit of a rough start,
but that was inevitable. I mean, everyone comes in thinking they're getting together with their friends, haven't seen them since last February, and heck, I got two in college, so I know exactly how that goes.
I got one at Holy Cross right now, so I had to call him a couple times and be like, hey man, would you do me a favor and don't get in any trouble? But I did see that article. I don't know if you saw this article the other day, but they compiled the stats from Alabama, Georgia, LSU. I can't remember how many teams, but it was the majority of the power teams. Total of 5,000 cases, and of the 5,000 positive tested cases, zero hospitalizations. Absolutely zero. So you might be right that they are going to get it all in. I kind of think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and it's like the cases have been up like here in Illinois lately, but the hospitalizations have been okay because the people who are getting them are the young kids who do fine with that. And I don't mean to poo-poo it. It's a dangerous thing, but statistically, young kids getting it have the best survivability rate, and I think I like the fact that a lot of the colleges went back to in-person learning. I like the fact that they're trying to do this smart, and I also like the fact that the kids are being smart, which, you know, you think about back when I was in college, there was no end of dumb shit I was doing. So the fact that these kids are being smart
on game day
and staying relatively healthy, you know, it's good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough call. All right, let's switch gears and let's go into football. But I do think there's some really interesting topics. I mean, we could talk the entire show, obviously, on the situation at hand. But this is going to be a really interesting year in terms of, you know, college football. In my mind, the reason it's so great is because it's defined by the impact that the emotional point of the game has, because we're dealing with kids in their 18 to 23 year range. You get teams that feed off the crowd. You get teams that make things happen that probably wouldn't normally happen, but it's a home game, and that's why it happens. This is going to be interesting. I know there's fans there on Saturday, not quite what you're used to expecting, but it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, who does this favor? Does it favor the team that is, you know, well disciplined, well prepared, and you know, ready for the long grind? Or you would think that's going to be the case, but I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, the good news is the fans that are going to be there are the fans that you would think are going to be the most interested and the most invested in the game.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to have like the people saying, oh, down in front and all that. There ain't going to be none of that. I mean, you've got the students in there. You've got faculty and staff, which are, you know, I'm sure that hopefully they have some vested interest in Notre Dame winning. But just because the student body will be there, I think that's definitely going to help. I was watching a bit of the Kansas City-Houston game today, and you know they only had 20% fans in there, and it sounded a little bit less, but there was an energy there. So
still a little bit, that's
still
good. Yeah,
there was still some energy, and I think now, is it going to be enough of a home field against a team like Clemson, I don't know. But I think against a team like Duke, I think it's going to be more than enough.
Yeah, yeah. Should be interesting. That'll be an interesting tech. Well, you know, let's talk about the team a little bit. I mean, I think that, I'll be honest with you, just looking on it from the outside, I really thought that this was going to be the year where we could be really good.
It still can be, but...
Yeah, it can be, yeah. And I think that, you know, again, there's a lot of interesting topics to talk about. And another one would just be, you know, how are people going to perceive this season? Is it going to be Notre Dame's intro into conference play? I mean, what's going to happen? There's going to be total assessment on us as to what happens to Notre Dame being in a conference, right?
Yeah.
And this is kind of dipping our toe in the water a little bit to a certain extent, but good or bad, you're going to get a lot of people hammering in on that point. And I think that's going to be interesting in hindsight once we get through this season.
Well, on the one hand, there seems to be no shortage of articles that say Notre Dame's first and probably only season in the ACC. It seems like someone somewhere is going out of their way to say, oh, no, it's just for this year. But I agree with you. I mean, there will be eyes watching this, and my – I don't know if concern is the right word, but if Notre Dame ends up going, let's say, 11-0 and squeaks out versus Clemson at home or loses to Clemson home but then turns around and beats them in the ACC championship game, and all of a sudden there we are in the college football playoffs. You know, in the back of Jack Swarbrick's mind, he's going to start saying, see, look, we got into the playoffs. We didn't have to wait for – we didn't have to depend on the kindness of strangers and stuff like that. So if Notre Dame was to join a conference, I would much rather see them in the ACC than in the Big Ten, because I think look at Nebraska if you want to know what happens when you join the Big Ten. I mean, the interest just gets completely sucked out. But the lack of truly intriguing matchups in the ACC, I mean, Clemson is good. Florida State and Miami will always be interesting. You get beyond that, is anyone really fired up about NC State? I mean, is anybody really fired up about Syracuse, for crying out loud? I mean, these old Big East teams that have no energy, little following, and I don't know. I really hope Jack doesn't get any ideas from this, but I will be interested to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Well, look, I think there's still some question marks on this team. I think there's going to be some, interesting aspects to the kind of play that we're going to get. You got to start with linebackers. Definitely a big question mark. Some great names there. Jack Lamb. I mean, I was a huge Pittsburgh fan growing up as a kid.
Sure.
So you love to see that name in there. But, you know, these are going to be, to a certain extent, somewhat untested guys. So that's going to be interesting. But, going into last season, you could argue we're a little bit untested there too. And so you just hope the coaching staff and everybody kind of has the capacity to put guys in, next man up. That'll be interesting. But running back, I think, is going to be interesting as well. You know, a lot of bright names there, but not a lot of experience in terms of what we're going to see. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Chris Tyree has managed to get himself second on the depth chart at running back, so I imagine we're going to get a heap and helping of watching him see what he can do. I mean, he was very highly touted coming in, and it's not like, as you said, there aren't a lot of capital N names to be dislodged. I mean, it's a pretty open competition based on the fact that a lot of these guys have skill, but they're low on experience, or they haven't really shown anything that says, oh, he's got to be at the top of the depth chart. So a freshman like Chris Tyree, this is a perfect opportunity for him, and you're opening up with two games that should be relatively easy at home. I mean, this is a chance to establish yourself. So I'll be interested to watch the running game. I mean, from what we've heard, allegedly there actually will be a running game this time around under Tommy Reese.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see what the balance is like. I didn't like the balance in the last regime, so hopefully I'm going to like it better this time around.
I'm obviously outside with the dogs, in case you just heard that. But anyway, so look, I think it's going to be tough for Notre Dame if they don't establish the run this year. Because, granted, we got a lot of talent, I think, on the offensive side with you know, Ian Book at quarterback, and with a pretty decent little bit untested on one side in terms of wide receivers. But, you know, we'll be able to move the ball. I'm really confident about that, but you can't rely on that 85% of the time and 15% on the run. It just isn't going to work.
Absolutely.
And so I do think that the coaching staff is going to be very well aware of this. They're going to the guys are going to get some shots. Look, Jafar Armstrong is probably the guy that deserves the first crack, and I think he'll get it. But, you know, he's had injury proneness in his career. He's a tough runner. He's a guy that could have a breakout year this year. Maybe he stays healthy. Maybe he carries a huge load. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it'd be really interesting to see if Tyree can break in there. And if he's as talented as they say he is, then maybe the running game's a little better than we think. Maybe it's not as bad as, you know, the offensive line is decent.
I think they got quality guys on there. I mean,
yeah,
like Eichenberg's gonna be played well.
Yep.
Banks,
Hainsey,
Kramer,
right?
Hainsey. Yeah, there's no reason we shouldn't have a high quality offensive line. No reason whatsoever.
Yeah, you would think so, and I that's going to be interesting. I do. The other thing is, you always find out what the team is. The makeup of it and the psyche of it is always something you figure out around the third game. You know, by the third game, you kind of know what you got, and you know what kind of attitude this team carries, and that's going to be, you know, interesting to find out. Now, you look at the schedule, and it kind of does favor us a little bit in terms of going to Clemson. You know, prior to COVID, you had up in Wisconsin, up at Green Bay,
yep.
And that was going to be a tough game. That's going to be
absolutely.
Notre Dame gets by that, then they probably got a damn good shot at getting to Clemson. Now you look at the schedule, and I think, all right, we get, you know, Florida State, but Florida State's not, you know, ramped up as they normally are.
Louisville
and
Louisville.
I mean, there's going to be some tough games there, but nothing but games that we should and could win. And, you know, it's looking pretty likely that we could be undefeated going into Clemson. That could be a 1-3, you know,
yeah.
1-4, possibly 1-2. You never know. But more likely 1-3 or 4. That's going to be a hell of a game.
No, I agree. I think the way the schedule's laid out, I mean, as you said, I mean, I think going to Pittsburgh could be a trap game. I think Pittsburgh's a little better than people think they are. But no one outside of Clemson on this entire schedule scares me at all. And
right.
we have out-recruited everybody on this list. We have out-talented everybody on this list. There is no way that we should go into every game other than Clemson as a favorite.
Yeah, I would think so.
Of at least,
and the other thing
at least
is,
7 to 8 points.
Yeah, and then with Florida State, you got the bye week. And you know, Brian Kelly, to his credit, has been pretty damn good with a bye week.
True.
I mean, he has definitely taken advantage of that. He's gotten his teams to play really well in that game coming off the bye week. And so I would think the same exact thing. That game's at home, too. So,
yeah.
You know, you look at – I think you're right, though. Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh is going to probably be a tough game for us. You know, Wake Forest, I mean, we should win that game. It's at Wake Forest, but, you know,
it's Wake Forest.
You line us up and you don't see us losing that game. Georgia Tech, maybe a little bit of trouble early in that game,
if they're looking ahead to Clemson, yeah, they might get a little.
And then going
to Boston College the week after Clemson is.
That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah,
that, I agree. That's going to be a really.
Especially if we come back and we beat Clemson at night at home, now you have to go to a crappy stadium against a crappy team who's going to be fired up, and the chances of us not being fired up is pretty damn high. So I'm like,
that is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think it'll be interesting to see this year, and we'll see this early on, is does Ian Book try to do too much? You know, I remember his sophomore year, or I should say his junior year coming in, he kind of felt like he had that decent season. You know, he's going to try and do too much. You know, now he's in his last season, and it's kind of all or nothing now.
Yep.
And you hope that he doesn't get caught into that trap and try and do too much and carry too much of the load, especially with some, you know, what he's got behind him in terms of the running game. There is going to be some times where we are going to have to turn to him, and he's going to have to carry the load inside the game, you just hope that he doesn't get caught up in that too much and try and do too much.
Yeah, because that then you get all wrapped up in your own head, and then it's kind of hard to get things done. But I think from everything we've heard that he's got a good relationship with Tom Rees, a better one than he had with the last guy. So I think you're right. I think the first two games are going to tell a lot. I like that they're, as I said, I like that they're at home. I like that they're not against tough teams. They have a chance to get their feet under them. And then we'll see what happens down the road, like against the Florida States, who may not be great coach, but at least they've got decent talent, I suppose. And Louisville, same thing. This team will have a chance to prove itself along the way, and I'm glad they don't have to do it right out of the gate.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Anybody that you think might come out of the group that's going to be a little bit of a surprise to people, maybe anybody that you think that either maybe hasn't played a lot up to this point or somebody new on the roster you think might surprise people?
I want to see what Clarence Lewis is going to do at cornerback. I mean, there's so much I've been reading about, like how he's playing well, doing well in practice. He's really impressing the staff, and which is good. I think while the safety play is going to be very good, I think if there is a weakness on defense, it's going to be a cornerback because there's so much unproven talent there. And so everything I'm hearing about Clarence Lewis, young kid, seems to be really, really playing well. And so I think that's what the cornerback position is going to need. They need someone to really suddenly step up. And you don't have to play at like a love level, but you've got to play at a decent level that teams just can't throw the ball and pick on us endlessly, because the front seven have to have time to make their presence felt. And if the cornerbacks are playing soft or they're not playing well and we're missing sacks because the opposing quarterbacks can get the ball out fast, that's not going to work. So there's a lot of pressure on the cornerbacks, I think, right now, and I really want to see what Lewis can do.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And that's going to be key, because that is going to be, you know, we're going to need somebody to step up there. I do think we're, you know, I think personally Kyle Hamilton's going to have a great year. I think he showed a lot last year as a freshman. He's going to be so much more confident this year. And I think he's a special kind of kid who, as a safety, has the ability to cover some ground. He hits hard.
Yep.
I like him a lot. I think we might see some interesting play from him. You know, Brock Wright, I think, could also be something that may step up and be a little bit better than we think. I mean, he's a solid guy. He's a great blocker. He's tough. But, you know, he might turn into a pretty decent weapon for Ian Book. And Ian knows him well. You know, these guys, I don't know. I kind of think that might be an interesting dynamic for him, especially because we haven't gone to the tight end a ton, especially last year at least. So it's going to be interesting there. And I think Javon McKinney, I like him a lot. I mean, I just think he's a guy that is strong, big, can separate himself. He's got great hands. It'll be interesting to see if especially early, you know, I would think that with the teams that we face, Ian Book being the experienced guy that he is, he knows his own guys, he knows the system, he knows how to read defenses. You might see some early games where he really lights it up. So it could be a lot of fun here, at least early on. But you never know. It's definitely there, and I think this could be a lot of fun. It could be a great year for us. In spite of everything, you know, I know that there's going to be that knock at the end of the year. Well, you know, look, not everybody played. But in any event, not that everybody didn't play, but you know what? We got the SEC. We got Clemson. You got the best teams in there, I think. I mean, obviously Ohio State's out. But
I'm going to be interested to see, like, speaking of the SEC, now that they don't have, like, division, like, FCS cream puffs to beat up on,
yeah,
they literally
exactly.
just will be playing each other. Can a team get out of the SEC with fewer than two losses? I guess we're going to find out.
We're going to definitely find out that for sure. That is going to be interesting. I mean, there's definitely a lot of aspects of the season that's going to be really interesting. But We'll get our first taste of it on Saturday, that's for sure. And thank God we're getting it, because I was getting a little nervous there that we might not get it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good. I think we're going to get through it. And what interests me, on as you said, the very, very long list, what happens if the Big Ten suddenly starts playing in the beginning of October, which I don't think they'd be able to do, but...
I think they're trying. I think they're pressing for it. Look, Coffee, think about it. This is not going to be good for the Big Ten if they don't play.
No, not at all.
I mean, if you're a kid that signed with Ohio State, or you're a kid that – maybe not even Ohio State. Let's just take a Nebraska. Are you really going to return there next year if you know you can play somewhere else? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, this is not good. This is not good for college football. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I personally think the Big Ten is going to – be in the game in October. I really do.
Yeah,
because I think they're coming to realize that that was a huge mistake.
Oh, and, especially if you see some of the states that the schools are located in are playing high school football.
Yeah, Ohio itself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, people in Ohio
with no issues whatsoever.
That, but
yeah.
Still, that's
yeah.
I think it's good that they're playing, and I think the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten expected. Well, we're going to lead the way, and then everyone's going to cancel.
I do. I think that's exactly right. Yep.
The SEC said, we're going to play.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So.
I think that's exactly what happened. And so my guess is they're trying their best to try and put it together and get a season started in October. I think that's what's going to happen, but who knows? You never know where this is going to turn.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting. And needless to say, there'll be plenty to talk about before, after, and into the next game. So we'll have plenty to do, that's
yes,
for sure. But
indeed.
You kind of hope for a good start. I'd love to see Notre Dame get out there, get a good start, get the game behind you, get all through all the politics of everything, and just start playing some football and looking good. And I think this team is in a really good spot. I'm excited about this year. This could be a lot of fun for this team.
It's going to suck if Notre Dame makes the playoffs and gets to the championship and fans aren't allowed to go, but you know, that would be peak 2020 though. So
yeah, there you go. No kidding. That wouldn't surprise anybody. All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.